If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
Fred, kiss the neighbor man. Kiss the animal lover neighbor man.
He can smell a good animal rights activist when he needs to. Moby is here. Moby's in the house, my neighbor. I'm so, you know what? I was in training and I finally was able to scale your hedges in order to get this booking. And thank you for not calling the police.
I had the shortest commute getting here that anyone in Los Angeles. And I know that's saying something because Los Angeles has been around for a while. And there are a lot of people who live here.
Yeah.
But I had the shortest commute that any person in Los Angeles has ever had.
Joel Stein's is shorter. He's like one house down.
I had the second shortest commute of any person. It was 45 seconds to get here.
We're kind of on an awesome street, right?
Like I left at 7:55.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm early. Knocking on the door at 7:56.
I saw you. Yeah. It's, you know what? It's not often that this is what's, you know, the glory of Los Angeles, Sean. Mm-hmm. Someone that has sold literally 20 million albums worldwide was ringing my doorbell this morning. I've been a huge fan forever, not just of your music, but that you're obviously such an amazing political activist, animal rights activist, environmental activist. So actually, Lisa Bloom, my friend, texted me. She goes, do you want to have lunch with Moby? I'm like, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I would like to meet him in a way that will not get me arrested. And then, but anyway, so I got to meet you. And I look at this. I've been saving this LA Times piece aspirationally, hoping that I would run into you.
On your vision board?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Moby adds his voice to calls for conservation. Do you remember this?
It's such a compelling headline.
Yeah. Well, but let's talk, because we talked a little bit of politics the other day. Because we were saying, I mean, I think for all of us, this is just a terrifying election.
So, yes. And there's so much to talk about. first and foremost, how you lose a 10-point lead in less than a month. Like, that's mind-boggling to me. But what I've been having to do lately is sort of, I guess it's like Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's preemptive stages of grieving.
Yes, yes.
Where it's like, there's a good chance we'll still win.
Right.
Like, it's worth remembering.
So you're going back and forth between depression and bargaining, or you?
Me too. Well, but if we don't, I'm trying to look at, like, the good side.
And that is?
One good side is the apocalypse has to happen at some point. And I feel like Trump is just going to sort of like hasten the arrival of the apocalypse. So that's one good thing.
Right.
There's a mean-spirited good side to it that I don't even want to talk about. Because it's like just like the schadenfreude of watching the people who vote for Republicans then being harmed by Republicans. And of course you want to be compassionate and extend love to all people. But when you see these idiots who vote for Republicans and then their kids can't get educated.
Right.
The rubes realize they've been duped, there is going to be a little entertainment factor
but
in that.
It happens every couple of years.
There's no wall and there's still brown people?
It happened with Reagan. It happened with Bush Sr. It happened with Bush Jr. It's going
to... But you understand that this street in particular will just become one big internment camp because all of the famous liberals are pretty much on this street. So we won't be able to leave.
And there's one other good thing.
Well, one of us will get out for a Costco run. That'll be it.
Yeah, we'll tunnel out underneath the stream.
If this block were part of the Universal back lot tour, it would be liberal land.
Exactly.
So the one other possible good thing if Trump wins is we wouldn't have had President Obama, our first African-American president, without Bush Sr. So Bush Sr. was the worst president the United States has ever had. Well, Warren G. Harding accepted.
Right. Yeah.
The worst president in the history of the United States, but it led...
Wait, you mean Sr. or W?
We'll go with W.
Okay, W.
And so maybe if Trump gets elected, maybe... It will potentially also signal the end of the Republican Party. Like maybe people in the United States will finally wake up and be like, oh, Republicans are terrible. Like they ruin the economy. They're just inept, angry, just belligerent and incompetent. And like eventually people will wake up to that, I hope.
Now, you mentioned you had drinks with Bill Clinton last week, which I found, you know, somewhat interesting. what was that like? And what was, because you also said to me, you said Hillary Clinton is just lovely. She's a lovely human being.
Well, this is what was confusing to me. When Hillary announced, I posted a picture of she and I together. And I said, congratulations to my old friend Hillary Clinton. And I then received a barrage of hate from progressives. And I was so confused. I was like, but Hillary's pro-choice, what? And she believes in climate change. She has a pretty solid progressive record. I know there are probably some people out there saying, like, but she voted for the war. I was like, okay, let's move past that.
Right.
She voted for the war. She apologized for voting for the war. The rest of her record is solid and progressive.
Right.
The scorn that was heaped upon her by progressives was baffling to me, especially when they just started repeating Republican right-wing talking points.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, they're like, but she killed Vince Foster. I was like, no, that's not even true. Like, you're repeating something that Laura Ingrams would have said. Yeah. You know?
Right. But anyway, what was you were saying, like, what were you feeling like Bill Clinton's mood was, or what?
Let me think. How can this is trying to be very diplomatic.
Bill, oh, just tell us what he said.
Bill's aging.
Yes.
You can tell that he really kind of like meeting, and I say this as an aging rock star. It's kind of like meeting an aging rock star where, like, you kind of want the current campaign to be the campaign that worked for you a long time ago.
Right.
So they're really focused on TV advertising. Okay. And, like, I was like, oh, you know, there's a problem with that. No one watched. It's not 1992.
Right.
But they're, like, Bill was actually talking about running more ads in California.
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
No, don't.
No, come on. There are two things wrong with that.
Yeah.
TV advertising is wrong with that, and California is wrong with that. Like,
yeah.
And so I think, unfortunately, if we lose, to an extent, it might be that the Clintons really want it to be 1992, and they're running a 1992 campaign.
Yeah, but Donald Trump's running a post-apocalyptic
1862 campaign. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like a 1700 campaign. Yeah, I that's the thing. It's just, it is hard to... even his, like, what's his maternity plan he just came out with? It's, like, from Mad Men. It's from the 1950s or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, but there's one thing, and I love the Clintons. I hope that Hillary wins. I think she'll be a great president. But it's sort of, my feeling is that they're kind of like indie rock radio hosts, where they think, oh, the music we're playing is good, therefore people should like it.
Right.
It's like, no, but that's not how it works. Like, the criteria that people employ to determine the worth of something is how much is it in front of them.
Right.
You know, so like, it's the Kardashian world. Like, no one knows what a Kardashian does, but because they're ubiquitous, you think, oh, they must have merit.
Right.
You know, and I think that same methodology applies to Trump, where people think, oh, he's on TV a lot and I see him a lot. Therefore,
must be good.
He must be good. And I don't, and I keep saying to the Clinton camp, I'm like, just, there's so much earned media out there for you if you want it. And they keep saying no to it.
Yeah.
I'm like, just go do stuff. Have stunts. Go to England and get your picture taken with the Queen. Do anything.
Right.
Jump out of an airplane.
Maybe because we're on one side of this, it's hard for me to imagine that not everyone cannot see that he's just the most horrible, disgusting, racist, amoral, awful human that has ever just inhabited this, you know, public sphere.
You and your friends are, I have this recurring conversation, which is like, on the mental illness spectrum, like, what's wrong with Donald Trump?
Right.
The question is like, is he a sociopath? Is he actually a psychopath?
That's the party game everywhere. Yeah.
Does he just suffer from good old garden variety narcissistic personality?
Has he had a head injury?
Yeah, like something.
Has he been struck?
But it's such that we're talking about the future president of the United States.
Right.
You know, we're like, well, he's a racist, he's a misogynist, he ruins businesses, and he's most likely seriously mentally ill.
Right.
Yeah. And 49% of the people in the United States think that man should be our president.
Right. That's terrifying.
And I feel like all of us, anyone listening, I imagine what we have are these sort of like, we'll call them like cognitive dissonance in the middle of the night. Right. Or like you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're like, what? How? No.
What?
How is this happening? This is impossible. Like, what's wrong? Like, it's like a Philip K. Dick book terribly awry.
Now that we're friends, do you mind if I come to your house in the middle of the night? Just, Moby, can you hold me?
I have attachment issues.
Do you have some vegan warm milk?
Yeah.
And then just hold me? When did you get into animal rights stuff? Because you are fierce and awesome on animal rights issues.
Well, I've been a vegan for 29 years.
Right.
And an animal rights activist for probably since like the mid 80s.
Right.
for many, many reasons. I mean, mainly, first and foremost, I love animals.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, we could spend a long time talking about this, but like the role of animal agriculture in climate change,
yeah,
and famine, and rainforest deforestation, and antibiotic resistance, and obesity, and diabetes, and cancer, and heart disease. Like, no one industry is ruining life on this planet more than animal agriculture. And that's for us.
Right. I don't know if you saw it. I'm obviously a huge animal lover as well, but I don't know if you saw this. The wild horses, which I think this is good news, but the headline last week was 45,000 wild horses to be killed by the U.S. government. So the BLM has said we do not and will not euthanize wild horses. I mean, I think there was enough public outcry.
Yeah.
But again, it's to make, you know, way for cattle ranchers, correct?
Yeah. And it sort of begs the question, and I have to say, I have to try and say this in a non, like, didactic way, but like, remember Cecil the Lion? Remember that dentist?
By the way, no Trump followers are listening know what didactic means anyway, so don't worry about it.
I don't mean to be facetious or didactic.
Broadway Danny Rose.
It's a word Woody Allen uses a lot. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
I've used that quote and no one ever gets it, so I'm so happy. Like, that made me really happy. But so when Cecil the Lion was shot, there was outrage. Or when people saw Blackfish, there was outrage.
Yeah.
And when people think about 45,000 horses being euthanized, there's outrage. I'm saying this outrage is understandable.
Yeah.
But the question is then, people go and eat meat. And
I'm trying not to make eye contact.
And I just wonder, because what turned me into a vegan. When I was 19 years old, I was petting a rescue cat that I had, who I loved. His name was Tucker.
Yeah.
And I looked at Tucker and I realized Tucker has two eyes, a central nervous system, a rich emotional life, and a desire to avoid pain and suffering. Mm-hmm. And immediately I realized every animal with two eyes, a central nervous system, has a rich emotional life and a deep desire to avoid pain and suffering. So I would just say, like, if your heart opens for Cecil and those poor whales at SeaWorld and the horses, like, there's a good chance it should open to cows, pigs, chickens, et cetera.
Pigs are very intelligent.
Yeah.
And can you guys finish talking? I got to go clear some stuff out of my fridge.
And I'm not, I don't mean that in a judgmental way. I just say it's like, it's this almost like neurochemical paradox. And I, growing up, I was the same way. Like, I loved animals and I also loved Burger King.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at some point I realized, oh, these two things, I either have to choose one or the other. And I think I just chose animals.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good for you. I mean, you've just been a, you know, you're just such an eloquent activist on so many issues. And they all interconnect, don't they? I mean, the environment, conservation, all of this stuff, you know, interconnects. I mean, that's what I'm saying. We wouldn't have to kill wild horses if, you know, they didn't decide cattle ranchers needed X zillion acres, right?
Yeah. And the common denominator to all of it, and what's so, like, if I were to ever run for office, I would just, part of what I would want to talk about with people is subsidies.
Yeah.
You know.
Think of the carbon footprint just of your staff. Joel Stein will be your head speechwriter. I'll be your campaign manager. Yeah. None of us need to drive anywhere. Let's get this going.
That's a reason to run for office just in and of itself. Just the travel logistics.
Right? We've got Pee Wee Herman lives around the street.
I know you are, but what am I?
We can use his strategy like Trump is. I was going to say, just quickly before we're going to break here, but that's the other thing in terms of how awful Donald Trump is as a human being. It must gall you on top of it that he's two, what are his sons' names again?
Kude and Husay, or no? It's,
yeah, Husay and Uday.
No, it's Adolf and Hermann.
Yeah, rapey and genocide-y.
Yeah. Right, but them holding these beautiful exotic animals that they've just shot, like they're just disgusting. They're all just disgusting human beings. I mean,
yep.
Look what I did. I killed something. Well, I'm not even gonna eat it.
I have to say, the most horrifically accurate picture is one of the sons holding the elephant's tail. You're like, yeah, that's what you did. Your dad did to the Republican Party.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, all right. Moby is live in studio, 20 minutes after the hour.
President Moby.
You can't leave. I know where you live.